The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello and welcome, my brother, me, your advice show for a modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet.
Now, Griffin,
Did you want me in it?
This is awkward.
Can I finish?
I'm Griffin.
Go ahead, Griffin.
Well, fuck! Let me loose!
All right, spit that.
I'm gonna fucking.
Fire.
I'm gonna. No, it's just not gonna happen now. Let's cancel the whole show, Griffin.
They gotta know who you are. They gotta know who you are, Griffin.
I'm the baby. Gotta love me. You guys, dinosaurs.
Topical.
Dinosaurs. It's back now, Griffin. You had a little thrilling tale you were gonna tell about a bug.
Mosquito. Got a mosquito in my office. Can't see it. Been looking, but I got bite. I got one bite on my wrist, and I know I'm gonna have like 12 bites by the end of this show.
Open Gollum style.
Okay, so basically all of the possible openings that we discussed. Travis, you want to talk about Halloween costumes? Like, was
your... Ooh, spooky, scary.
Okay.
Have you guys heard this gang style?
Yeah,
gang
style. It's all about plaids.
Gangy style.
It's all about tasteful plaids.
There should be an episode of Put This On called Gangnam Style.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I'd say the half-life for that goof is about 13 more minutes. So if he can possibly get the crew together real quick.
Squeeze it out.
Maybe we make it happen.
So here on this program, are you going to finish your story about the bug? I was getting into it.
It literally is. There's a bug in my office. I don't know how to deal with it. I'm not like bug phobic, but I'm delicious to bugs. Extra delicious.
You eat too many bananas.
Is that it?
Yeah, mosquitoes, they love bananas.
Right, but do they love, like, I turn those bananas into poop pretty quick. So like.
No, you get it in your skin excretions.
Okay. I don't like to think about the fact that I have those.
Ah, that's fair.
Guys, we got I want to get to the advice, but we got a wonderful letter this week, and it came to us. The letterhead, the envelope, is from Canisius College, and we got an email from a girl named Melina.
Maybe a woman.
A woman named Melina. Well, I said girl because she's just out graduating, but yeah, I guess woman. Is correct, and she sent that to our post office box. It's P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. And she's a fan of the show who's a sophomore at Canisius College, and she stole an envelope from there to mail us, and she sent a photo of herself in her cap and gown, and she said that we are the reason she is graduating.
That doesn't seem likely. I mean, I don't want to put that last part, not true,
but everything else.
I don't like putting fans on blast, but that there's no possible way that we ever aided anyone with any sort of educational progress.
There is someone out there who has Slumdog Millionaired, my brother and me.
Fucking possible collection of course loads could anyone ever be offered that would touch on the things that we talk about? Animal husbandry, specifically geese.
Yeah, that's one. What about, didn't we talk about different flavors of cotton candy once?
Yeah.
That was instructive.
Sure, because why would that ever be part of a collegiate program, though?
Clown college.
Go home.
Let's get to some actual questions.
As long as we're wasting time, I want to thank
you ready to go back to your bug story?
I want to thank it's I'm up
Bug's
to,
life.
I'm up to two bites. I got one on my knee. Like, don't worry about it though. So I want to thank everyone who donated on Max Fun Day last week. We we did very, very well. Thank you so much to all the donors. And our listener base is now composed of two groups, donors and boners, and you know what side you fall on. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Here's our first question. I'm planning on moving into an apartment for the first time soon. I'm looking around at some apartments, and one in particular has apartments available. If he says apartments again, I'm going to lose it. It's such a fun word, apartments, available on the first floor and the top floor. My question is, which would be better to move into? My friends seem split on the decision, so I think some insight from MBMBAM is needed. That's from Occupying Ontario.
I think this is the easiest question ever. It's the bottom floor.
It's of course always. The bottom floor.
100%.
It's like, always. Do you want to walk an extra? Think about like all of the times that you're going to have to negotiate those stairs. Like, do you want to walk 100 miles for no reason? No, of course you don't.
And it may seem, you may think like, I only have to move in and out once. No. But that one time, man. Griffin and I, we lived on a third floor apartment when we first moved to Cincinnati, and getting our sofa and chairs and shit up.
It was a 2-day job. It was fucking miserable.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
And also, if you live on the ground floor, it's so much easier for people to find your apartment without like wandering through the building trying to find where you live. And
also, do you know how Dr. Adkins died? Slipped on some stairs, fell right down him and died. And then the world got super fat again. So just things to keep in mind.
The only upside to the top floor is you get some sweet, sweet balcony action.
Yeah. Another benefit is that if the apartment catches on fire, then you're definitely going to die. So that's another bonus.
Again, we are in a situation where more information is necessary to like, he says top floor, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, is top floor like up 5 flights of stairs? Bad. Or is it like 30th floor, throw open the window to the balcony, Jay-Z, run this city, 30th floor? Like,
oh, are you thinking like helicopter landing pad on the top of the building?
Exactly. Are we talking like top floor, do you mean the penthouse?
I like to think that that this person has enough goddamn sense in their head that they wouldn't have to ask us like, should I live in the sweet Las Vegas Playboy penthouse or in this prison cell in the basement?
I also would like to think, since this person is moving into their first apartment, that this is not like a blank check type situation where he's just been handed $1 million and he's like, I guess I'm taking that swank apartment up on the top.
But the alternate, the alternate to the situation you're describing, Griffin, is that this is a person who cannot tell the difference, for whom stairs or no stairs is a binary choice that you can actually decide on, rather than a self-evident truth that you, of course, you don't want stairs.
Sure, stairs.
Well, but maybe the top floor is bigger. Maybe the downstairs apartment is a smaller apartment.
Because what kind of fucking top-heavy building do you think this is?
No, I'm saying that maybe it's like a house that's been converted to apartments, and like the downstairs is 2 and the upstairs is 1. I'm just saying that there are factors here in which it may not be as straightforward, but I still stand by that it is straightforward, and the answer is always the bottom floor.
Obviously the bottom floor, it's going to be nice.
It depends.
No, it doesn't.
It does, because my first apartment ever was in the West Virginia building, the tallest building in Huntington, West Virginia. I was on the 13th.
That's actually the Coal Exchange building, but go on.
I was in the, why you gotta put me on blast?
Well, I mean, if you're just going to fucking spit a bunch of nonsense.
I was on the 13th floor. We Rochambeau'd to decide who got the rooms. There was one very small room with a painted shut window, one slightly larger room with no windows whatsoever, and then another room on the corner of the 13th, like all windowed walls looking out like the pimpest view of the city ever, and we had to Rochambeau for it, and I won, fortunately. And it was like a totally sweet, is a totally sweet deal. You could look out on all of Huntington's splendor. That was kind of nice. That was worth the minute and a half long elevator trip up and down.
I think that there does come a certain point where like you pass like fourth floor and it gets to be like, well, now the height is just awesome.
I would say more than fourth. I would say ten
floors.
Yeah.
At least. Okay. I mean, think about the look on your Nana's face when she says listen, Occupying Ontario, I want you to take my sleeper sofa. Mm-hmm. And you say, thanks, thanks, num-nums. That's what he calls his grandma. And I want you to take my sleeper sofa. And then you just have to sit there, sit it on her lawn, pretend like you're taking it, then sit it on her lawn and burn it.
Yeah.
You have to do that because you can't take it into your new apartment. Because if you've ever tried to move a sleeper sofa,
it's any the worst.
Period. At all. Try to do it. You know that it is not anything anybody would ever want to move ever.
Sure. In 100 years. And also, the fire thing is pretty bad. Just keep in mind the fire thing.
And the other thing about sleeper sofas is I don't think I've ever opened one up where there's not something in there.
Yeah, what Cheerios.
Cheerios and Snickers wrappers.
There's
and
like a highlighter in there for some reason.
There's a High Life's.
There's another highlight. Somebody was reading about Goofus and Gallant in there.
I don't know. A flashlight. They made a tent.
Did you guys know that the Blank Check House is here in Austin, Texas?
No.
Yeah, it is. Did you guys also know that in that film, he bought a fucking mansion for less than $1 million?
Yes.
$1 million was the sum total of money that the child had. And he bought literally everything in the world.
Yeah. Okay, but wait a minute. The year, we're talking about Blank Check. They're talking about a mansion. Is the mansion in the theory of the story? Is the mansion in Austin?
I don't know that the film was set in Austin because they go to an amusement park, and I don't think there's anything really nearby. There's some shit down in New Braunfels, but I don't think they would go to New Braunfels in the fiction.
In the fiction, they wouldn't go to New Braunfels.
He fucking hired fat fake John Candy to drive him around. Like, that would cost more than $1 million nowadays to pay a fat fake John Candy to be your butt.
He had like a wall of like 30 TVs.
Yeah, right? That's at least a cool $3 million.
And he had like a slide installed in his house.
Yeah, that's $20 million right there.
And like a virtual reality chair and like a big bouncy ball thing. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What kind of discount place is he buying all this shit from?
If you're looking at New Braunfels right now, I can get you into a nice 6-bed, 7-bath on Park Road. And that's going to cost you $1.4 million.
That's what I'm
and
saying. That's not even counting fucking water slide. It's not counting the expensive date with the woman who kind of looked like more famous women of the era, and also you can't hire fat fake John Candy to be your best friend forever. Just can't do it. Not for that kind of money. If that movie was called 200 Blank Checks, and then you got a mill on each of them, maybe we could talk.
So if you're, but hold on, I want to give you some perspective, and this is very indicative of how our economy has gone. In $1 million in 1994 equals $1.5 million now.
Not even close, though. Not even close.
How are things, by the way? How is your economy that inflation? Is
it's
fast?
Pretty.
That's crazy.
That's rough and tumble. But it's even still. Do you think that fake Sinbad would threaten to kill a child for $1.5 million?
Do you mean Tone Loc, Griffin?
Sorry, Griffin, do you mean Tone Loc, you bigot?
Because I believe Sinbad is fake Tone Loc.
I got him switched.
I think if you check the math.
I did it bad.
You did a wrong job.
I don't mean to make this the unofficial Blank Check cast. What I'm saying is that the whole movie is horseshit, and I would like to talk about it for about 40 more minutes.
Is he leasing?
Oh.
I want to read another question, but Travis, do you have two in a row from Ontario?
Apparently I do.
I like that. Are we sure it's not from the same person?
Yeah, it's different people.
Okay. Oh, this is good. We should save this for next week, but I'm just going to go ahead and...
This is a teaser to get more of the same.
I want to snap into this particular Slim Jim. I work in a haunted building. It used to be a hospital, which has since been turned into a retirement home. Many of the employees have encountered weird things, like whispering in the ear when they're alone and see reflections in glass and no one's behind them. Even to the extreme of an employee getting thrown against a wall, which somebody saw. The problem is that I don't believe in any of that stuff, but I want to. How can I convince whatever is haunting my work to prove they exist to me? That's from Wanted to Believe in Thunder Bay, Ontario.
You gotta fuck in that hospital.
You've gotta you gotta get high.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to curse, and you've got to be black.
And I think you gotta say things like, "Oh no, that's just a legend."
Mm-hmm.
That's just a legend. If you do these things, the killer will reveal themselves to you.
If you say stuff like, "I'm just one day away from retirement,"
that's a good way.
From hospital work.
That yes, if you say, "I hope no one eats this ghost food I laid out," then that is a
now
pretty
specifically,
sure way to get
Justin.
Them.
Can you? Because I know that you had a brief ghost hunter phase. What is the yeah. What kind of food are we talking about?
Okay, well, is it ghost combos?
Is that the ghost of combos or combos?
For so when you eat combos,
yeah, okay, so you get a bowl, you fill it with combos.
Okay,
uh-huh. You eat all the combos in that bowl.
Sure,
but you got to make sure that you leave the combos there long enough for the energy to soak.
Sure, the spectral area. Residue from these combos. Yeah. How come that's not on the right. fucking bag of ingredients? What if my kid's allergic to spectral combo residue? Thanks for nothing, General Mills. My kid's
the
dead.
The other important thing is you have to eat them as violently as possible to be sure to leave behind a spirit.
Right. It's best if they have an unrequited love, too.
We need some sort of unfinished business. One of the combos is maybe going to go to college. You know, something like that.
Man, fuck.
Ugh. Oh, my God, guys. On a whim... I have just searched for ghost equipment on Amazon, and now I'm off to the races.
Darn it, because that is...
Oh, golly, this is the new thing.
To afford your new ghost hunting equipment, are you going to pawn your fushigi balls? Do you just hove from one dumb thing to another?
I feel like my skill in the art of fushigi, or as we call it, contact juggling,
Christ
is really about to blossom. Biscuit.
Do you think that you could use your fushigi to attract ghosts? I thought my shit was cool, but what are you doing?
Then I'm haunted by the ghost of my dignity. It was there, and then it disappeared as I fushigied.
When I suggested that you fuck at your place of business, first of all, it's just a great idea because it feels great to do it. But more importantly, ghosts are real dirty, which we've discussed many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get down, then a ghost is going to want to come by, see what's happening, maybe try to participate.
I mean, you catch him in a dream catcher.
You catch him in a dream catcher, like in the movie Dreamcatcher,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Hey, guys, next week, let's make our entire show about ghosts.
Okay, everybody send your ghost questions.
Do you have ghost questions, or do you have a terrifically spooky tale of when you were haunted by a ghost? Ooh, I'm getting spooked just thinking about it.
And we'll tell you about how we used to get drunk in an old asylum.
We'll tell you about the creepy warehouse where they used to store... the pink Cadillac that our dad drove for work.
Ooh.
And now it's a 7-Eleven. Ooh. Man, I'm getting scared just thinking about it. Griffin, do you have a Yahoo for
Sure, I have a few. This one was sent in by Justin Brown. Thank you, Justin. It's by Yahoo Answers user ? I'm starting to think ? Is not an actual, like, legit Yahoo answer name. Maybe it's like if your Yahoo answer name is, like, real, like, racist or offensive, they switch it out.
Instead of that, can you just start saying the Riddler?
Mm-hmm. This one was sent in by the Riddler. Thanks. Thanks, the Riddler. Yahoo Answers user ? Asks, how do I become like Dog the Bounty Hunter? I am a big fan of Dog the Bounty Hunter. Would love to go around catching bad guys and hauling them to jail. Would I need to immigrate to America, or could I do this in the UK? What weapons am I allowed to have? Can I drive faster, do the job?
Wouldn't you love if he came to America illegally and his dog had to be sent after him, and at the same time he was hunting dog?
Yes. I learned it from watching you.
I just went to bounty hunt, and there's nothing to bounty hunt in the UK.
It's just this 12-year-old kid with a mullet and a leather vest.
Let's go down the extensive list of reasons why you'd have to move to America to do this job. Extensive list. A, there is absolutely no crime in the UK. Nothing to hunt. Way more crime here. B,
way more crime.
No, you can't have weapons in the UK, you goose.
Nope.
No, that's a big problem.
Do you think you can just walk down the street with a big can of bear mace in the yuck? You can't.
Nope.
Now I do want to point out that Dog the Bounty Hunter is legally barred from entering the UK because of a slight, mild case of a murder conviction in 1976.
Wait, really?
Yes. So you could corner the market in the UK because dog cannot come there and chomp your flavor.
Is it?
Because he
did you just, is... Okay, did you just like Google Dog the Bounty Hunter UK or did you just like know that?
That's just something I know. He your killed brain somebody.
Is a horrifying
this
place.
Just happened. Well, no, it just happened in August. They wanted him to be on a Celebrity Big Brother over there, and he couldn't because he has a murder conviction.
Cool.
Is it cool, Travis?
Cool. No, it's cool in that like not cool kind of
oh,
way.
I see.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I get you. I get you.
Suddenly, my whole understanding of what Dog the Bounty Hunter stands for is. It's just ripped apart.
Okay. Here, I am Dog the Bounty Hunter, or rather, a knockoff, a wannabe Dog the Bounty Hunter. My name's
Dog with two G's.
Dog. Okay. My name's Rough Pup, and I'm here to take you down. That's my catchphrase. Oh no, Rough Pup's here. Stop all the crime, quick. So anyway, I show up and. I have to hit a man repeatedly with a bat to stop his crime that he's doing. Cops show up. How does this shake out? This scenario. They walk in on this scenario and they see it. They see what I've done. What's the result?
I think that you probably before you're able to bounty hunt have to go through some sort of training course or.
Okay, but in this, let's just say in this fiction, I have no fucking interest in doing that.
Then I think you have to also kill the cops.
Uh-oh.
Yikes.
Yeah. And then everything spirals.
I went to a private college via financial aid, and so after graduating now, I have a lot of friends with rich parents who love having dinner with their children and me, oftentimes at restaurants that are expensive for my low salary. 100% of the time, they end up paying for the meal. But if there's any doubt about whether they will, I get uncomfortable when the check comes. I used to fumble with my wallet, pretend that I was going to pay my share, but that got really uncomfortable. Is it okay to just ignore the bill completely? That's from Not Ann Landers in New York.
I used to do that game where I get out my wallet. Where do I keep the fucking money in here? This wallet's so big.
I know I left some, I slid some into a side compartment. No, I mean, I think that's a little insulting, actually, to, like, people are onto that game. They're crafty because they have money. They know how it works. They had to be tricksy to get that fortune in the first place. If people want to pay for dinner, like, part of the thing with paying for dinner is you feel like, you feel like superior, like a champ.
Yeah.
You feel like also, you're taking care of people.
Good rule of thumb, like very rarely will someone be like, hey, I want to take you to dinner. And then when you get there, be like, you're going to pay for your own stuff, right? Like, I don't know that that's ever happened to me. I used to feel the same way and be like, oh, suddenly I feel like, should I ask? Should I bring it up? Will they tell me? Or just be cool. And if they ask you out to dinner, then they're probably paying for
but
it.
But it's not, you can't give them the definite. I think if paying for it is not an option, you gotta go with the full bluff and you gotta take the check and you gotta say, guys, don't worry about it. I'll get this one.
And then you get your little reading glasses out.
Like, oh my God. Yes.
You have a
tip
calculator. If you have a tip calculator in your wallet,
that would be
the only way.
Slide that out and be like, oh, I think 30% on this one. What do you
if
guys
you
think?
Don't consider the bill, then you're not doing the bluff correctly. If you don't put on a little green visor and really, really crunch some numbs, then you they're not going to buy it. Of course, that bluff, that barrel will go over the waterfall maybe once, and then you're in a whole heap of trouble.
It is good, though. I wish they paid the bill first. I wish that was the first thing you did. Because it makes it would or decided on that at least because it would make ordering
Justin,
a lot easier. Because that's always a high pressure situation. Because if you know somebody else is paying,
You know? I fucking love this idea more than any other idea we've ever generated. I love the idea of a restaurant you show up to and you say, bring me $50 of food. And then they...
You know what? No shit. There's the restaurant that I just went to yesterday. There's an option on the menu that basically you pay $25 and they just bring you some courses.
I love it.
Like, it's chef's choice and it's just like you pay $25 and the chef
brings good it also for when you're drunk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to chew for a while. And I, hopefully by the end of it, I will be full.
I also think that, man, maybe you should offer to pay. You know? How often it's, are these
no,
people taking
I don't
you
think
out?
I don't think you should offer to pay. I think you should be gracious.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's a much more, I mean, like, that's the better part of it. It's goofy and a little insulting because, okay, if you're a wealthy parent and you're taking your kid out and their friends out for dinner, part of the reason you're doing that is because it'll make you feel good. So if you are out to dinner and one of your kid's twerpy friends is like, well, let me see what my portion is of that, Mrs. Jonas, then you're going to think, well, what do you think of me? Do you think I need help buying your fucking French dip sandwich for $7.99? Because I don't.
See, this I'm is cool. Why if you're a waiter, always be on point and always ask how to do the checks. A savvy waiter, first thing, will say, and have you never seen that before?
I have, but not at a high class.
It depends
restaurant.
On the establishment. Yeah. See, if I you have that, more than
that
five, four
bullet
people,
dodge happens right at the beginning. It's nice.
Yeah, except I don't eat at TGI Fridays. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a Ruby Tuesdays. If it has the name of a day of a week,
you have just listed. You've just listed the two restaurants I've eaten at in the last 2 weeks.
Excellent.
I just want you to know
that. Excellent.
In the correct order as well.
That must be easy if you live in Austin. Like, every restaurant serves delicious Tex-Mex food and is in a giant dinosaur or something equally kitschy.
All the meals are
served. Here in Cincinnati, it's all TGI Fridays.
All the meals are served out of mason jars.
Yeah. Welcome to Slurpers.
The whole restaurant's lit with different novelty Christmas lights.
That's actually... That one's actually not far off. Listen.
I love this restaurant.
Listen.
I don't think it's a restaurant. I think that we've wandered into someone's attic.
I'm trying to eat the It's a Boy bubblegum cigars that they've left saved as a keepsake.
Don't.
Also, we might be raccoons.
Welcome to the best comedy advice cast that is hosted and performed exclusively by raccoons.
For raccoons, by raccoons.
People are so surprised when we go to live shows. They can't see us. We're skittering around and rummaging through purses. People are always so surprised that it turns out we're raccoons this whole time.
Every time I take raccoons out for dinner, there's always that awkward moment where they realize they're raccoons.
Yeah.
And that they don't have wallets.
Yeah.
It's adorable, but I mean, I feel bad for them.
So you're ordering garbage again.
Okay.
Again.
You're ordering every time I take you out.
We could have just gone to Slurpers.
You either get the buffalo chicken sandwich or garbage. It's the only two things I've ever heard you order.
Is it bad form to offer these parents maybe a tug?
As you're leaving, like, hey, Greg, do appreciate the vittles. I will hit you on the tug.
You name the time and place.
Yeah, I will get that tug right out the door, right
Please
to you.
Please not Sunday morning. That's when I go to church.
Yeah. I do. Unless I am at church, I am tug ready. You just say the word.
I will handle the gratuity, if you know what I mean.
You know what I mean? I think you do. I think it's a little I think it could be perceived as slightly not I mean I don't necessarily think it's polite to offer to split the tip. I think it's polite
well,
to
Well no,
be
God,
really
not
gracious.
During a tug. That would be
Oh my God. Some kind of ring or bracelet.
That would be horrific. Who would want that?
You're into some weird stuff, Danny's dad. But man, that French dip was good, so I guess. Hey, unless you want us to split the tip, then we're going to need to go to the money zone.
So, welcome to the Money Zone. As you know, we've been sponsored by Extreme Restraints for the last couple weeks, and we also...
By couple weeks, you mean 14, right?
For the last 28 weeks, we've been sponsored by Extreme Restraints. We received an email from Allie, who works in the warehouse at ExtremeRestraints.com, and she is an avid My Brother and Me listener, and she just wanted to let us know that hearing our spots for the company that she works for the last 2 months has filled her with nothing but joy and pleasure. And her heart is warmed by this partnership, and thanks for being hilarious and fun with your ads and overall supporting this great website. I'm proud to be synonymous with My Brother and Me.
Try it again.
Synonymous.
There we go.
Thank you. Yours, Shemama. Allie. So, Allie, thank you so much. And now we're going to talk about boners and stuff.
You know, that email warms my heart. But if I want my scrotum warmed, I go with the mini remote control 10 function egg. That's a remote sex toy.
I've been fucking up. So, because I just put like a towel on there and then shoot.
That's that old shit.
I put a towel right on it and then I use the hair dryer right on there.
You gotta watch out for that because you'll dry and crack.
Yeah. Jesus.
What?
You know, I want to. Listen.
Listen.
It's my birthday. I'm trying to treat my balls right.
Uh-huh.
What else is there for me on this one, on this website?
Well, how would you like, there are some really good jewelry, actually, that I'm just now seeing.
Oh, that's
nice. I've never dipped into the jewelry before. Mm-hmm. There's one that looks like a snake is coming out of your wiener.
Ooh.
When you say jewelry that makes it look like a snake is coming out of my wiener, are we talking about like a brooch? We talking about like a pendant?
Let me tell you what we're talking about.
Is this like one
about.
Of those brooches that has like an old lady on it? It's like ivory. It looks like, you know what I mean? Like ceramic.
No, it looks like some sort of weird Return to Oz metal snake robot is crawling out of your penis hole.
So not like a lady.
Oh, I see. Justin has just forwarded me the picture, and it is in fact a picture of a dick as well. I guess I should have assumed that.
Sent my brothers a picture of a dick. Must be Sunday.
I guess I should have assumed it was just a picture of a dick.
Rachel, you gotta see this.
So, ExtremeRestraints.com is your superstore for adult novelties. If you use the coupon code MIDLIST as you're checking out, you're gonna get 20% off
it's
of your order.
It's a ring that looks like a dick. Like a snake's coming out of a dick.
Do you think
like
they
a metal
fit
coil?
It?
Like a snake,
they have to custom
but it's
fit
coming
it, right?
out of the dick hole, and it's like wrapping around. Like
anyway, go to ExtremeRestraints.com, spelled just like it sounds, and use the coupon code MIDLIST to get 20% off. And thank you so much, Extreme Restraints, for sticking with us all these weeks. It is one of the few sponsor program relationships I know of where the fans actually look forward to the ads and demand that they continue. We've heard from people specifically saying, I hope you never stop being sponsored by Extreme Restraints. They're rooting for advertising. So thank you to them, and thank you to you guys for being
so
cool.
I can't speak for them, but I think this shit's for life. You know what I mean?
I think we got something real here.
I think we're BFS. I look forward to these ads, too. I did not know you could come a snake. Didn't know. Yeah.
I remember when this relationship first blossomed, we got an email from Teresa Thorne. It was basically to see, like, I didn't know if you guys would be okay with this or if this would be the sort of thing you would be comfortable doing. And it's like, have we not met? This is the greatest day of our life, Teresa. This is the best thing that's ever happened to us.
I ran through the hallways of work just screaming, you'll never believe, you'll never believe. So
thank you. Thank you to them and thank you to us.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Here, you want a Yahoo?
Before we continue on, I don't know if you guys know, but there was a tragedy this week.
Fucking quit the show. I know
American
what this is.
Hero has passed away at the age of 88. Leonard B. Stern. He was executive producer for Get Smart. He worked on Sergeant Bilko, and he was also the creator of Mad Libs.
I'm not going to fall in your fucking trap.
And I was asked by many, many of the listeners to give a brief eulogy for Mr. Stern, and I would like to read what I've written now.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Today the world has lost a great palindrome. Leonard Stern, renowned sassafras, frothy poop train, and dwarf paladin, died at the age of swoop. He was born in the small town of Throbbing, Wisconsin, and attended Yakety Sax University. After leaving school, he got his start as an applesauce splurger, but quickly advanced to pommel horse in a prominent haberdashery. His co-workers described him as a sketchy and smarmy, and that if you needed a boondoggle, he was your flubber. In his later years, he became a much more caramel gentleman, preferring the company of Kimmy Gibbler. The funeral service would be held at Bumblebutt Mortuary, and guests are asked to bring a fart for the moist widow and her three stanky children.
Listen, Mrs. Stern, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. I brought you a fart. Would you? Okay, now here's the question. If you're bringing a widow a fart, do you bring a fart in a jar, or do you wait until the exact appropriate moment, introduce yourself to the widow, and then fart?
You actually bring it in a casserole dish, covered in foil, and buy you a fart.
Listen, I don't want to be that guy. Just pop it in the oven for 30 minutes. I am going to need this back later, so please return to me.
This is my good fart pan.
Once you're done with the fart, please bring the fart pan back.
I'm glad this dude's dead. Sorry. I know he's a comedy legend, probably, but I'm glad he's gone. If only it could have happened before he invented Mad Libs, you know?
That's messed up.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't mind looping him.
He was actually on, he was one of the producers on Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, I mean, is there a window there where I could looper him between the invention of Supermarket Sweep and the invention of the Mad Lib? Because I don't want to sacrifice one for the other. You know what I mean?
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. No.
Fuck. I got a Yahoo for us. It's by thank you for sending it in, Colin Dinsmore. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jake, who asks, does my PE teacher like me? Oh, no. We were playing a game of rugby, and he told me to do a lap of the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
That's
how bad is this guy at interpreting signals?
That's the given circumstances that we have to work with?
That's about it, but I don't, like, that's kind of just, like, the PE way. That's, like, what they do. It's hard to know if you... Listen, some of us have always been curious of whether or not our PE teachers liked us, and I don't mean in a romantic way.
We all know the answer to that question.
Some of us are just seeking the approval of a PE teach.
I remember when I was watching Mr. Woodcock and thinking, I wonder if my PE teacher...
That fucking movie! I just thought about the movie. Sean William Scott!
Are you having a fucking laugh about the existence of Mr. Woodcock as a film?
Oh man.
Is that what tickled you? Was it a specific...
Like, it was just that it existed and Sean William Scott was in it. And you just couldn't believe that those two things were true.
Do you guys have any good PE teachers?
No,
we're going to find the humor in this bit if it kills me.
You are apparently already found it. Apparently, it's you need to look no further than your DVD rack to see a copy of Mr. Woodcock.
Your three copies, one for every day, one for special occasions, and one for archive.
I couldn't own that fucking movie because every time I saw it, if I looked over in the rack. I can't believe either of you unsportsmanly fucks don't have a single funny gym teacher
story.
The
only gym teacher story I have is my gym teacher in elementary school telling my parents that I probably had ADD. And I did, in fact. So thanks for that.
It sounds like he saved you a lot of money in the diagnosis department.
My mental deficiencies early on. I appreciate that.
I didn't have any funny PE teachers. Forgetting one. There's probably one listening now who says, hey, I was funny. I worked my ass off for you guys.
Do you remember we were doing jump rope for heart and I made all those wisecracks to keep you guys motivated?
Remember I called it jump rope for fart?
Do you remember?
You remember?
Can we not? You guys want a different Yahoo?
Yeah.
Okay. This one's
an additional one, right? You're not going to edit out where you laughed at Mr. Woodcock for 20 minutes.
Don't,
right?
Guy.
The name's good, too.
Oh, that's what I'm laughing at.
It's got cock in it. and also wood. It's like a double boner joke.
Mm-hmm. If that movie was about ventriloquists, it would be the best movie ever.
So this one was sent in by Justin Brown. Thank you, Justin. It's by Yahoo Answers user Intelligent John, who asks, have you ever tried to punch a bird? That's all the things that there is.
Like, in anger, or like for dominance, or like a bird you own, or bird flying by?
Well, let's run through each of those. A, I don't think you can hunt a bird with punches. They're live creatures.
Uh-huh. You gotta tap the bird on the shoulder when it turns around, you punch it.
Mm-hmm.
Would a bird stand there and take it? Like, could you get to jump? You couldn't pull that on a cat. Oh, if God, if you try to punch a cat, he's gonna go spectral. He's gonna disappear. If you try to punch a bird, I'm not sure if they have that sort of cat ESP that would allow him to avoid it.
So you're saying like a cockatiel sitting on its little perch in your room, and you just like walk in, you've had a bad day, and you're like, I'm gonna fucking punch that bird, and you swing your fist. The bird's
all you've look thought at about you all day. It's the only way you got through the meeting.
Maybe your little brother trained that bird to say some really offensive shit, and it's just eating up at you.
You got that 3 p.m. feeling. You're like, I can't wait to get fucking home and punch my fucking bird.
You just really let loose and punch the shit out of that bird, and you're saying that perhaps the bird would just turn and look at you and just take it full on in the face, and maybe do that thing where it dramatically, like, its head snaps to the side, and then it looks back and, like, wipes off the blood off its beak.
Oh, I love this.
And then it comes at you, just crazy balls. And all of a sudden, it's just a hardcore throwdown in your room, the throwdown showdown between you and your cockatiel, and the stuff's just getting rowdy.
Can we not say cockatiel? Well, first of all, we can't say cockatiel because I'm going to start laughing again.
You're wood cockatiel.
But
you're Mr. Wood cockatiel.
Also, a cockatiel would just disintegrate if you punch it. Let's talk about a heartier bird.
Okay, maybe so you've like got a blue Amazon parrot?
Maybe you've got an ostrich. Then that's shit. A sparring partner right there.
Yeah. Ostriches are mostly dinosaurs.
You don't start shit with an ostrich.
Can I go to the pet store and say, I want a bird. Hold up. I want one that can take a punch. Not one that will...
I know what you're thinking.
I don't want this bird to buckle over like a little bitch when I punch it.
How come as many times as I've seen chickens killed on TV, I've never seen a ostrich decapitated with a machete? Can you imagine how sweet that would be?
I feel like that's like a Mythbusters waiting to happen.
Yeah, here's a myth. That would be awesome.
Why would that be awesome?
Think about how long its neck
is. There is a lot of neck there.
No, I know.
Where would you cut? You have so many options. Like, you could do like a backflip with a sword and chop it anywhere, and that head's gonna come right off.
You're saying
it would look awesome.
It's hard
as long as we're doing that. Then can we do the cartoon thing where they tie two flamingos together? I want to try.
What cartoon thing are you? What cartoon?
Flamingos all the time. I think it's in Alice in Wonderland.
What avian cartoon snuff films are you watching? And by the way, we haven't properly addressed the fact that Justin wants to cut an ostrich's goddamn head off.
I was trying to steer the conversation away from that.
Away from the fact that our brother's a serial killer.
It would just be fun. I don't want to do it. I'm saying I want to see it on YouTube.
They are beautiful, regal birds. They're basically they're super swans is what they are. They're mega swans.
I think if you have something with that long of a neck, it is just begging to be decapitated.
Do you think that like somewhere like God or the creator of whatever is sitting around going like, I can't believe nobody's decapitated those birds yet. I gave it to them. That was a gimme.
Did you just get theological on us? Whatever supreme being created ostriches, obviously made them.
I didn't
want to
alienate the Venn diagram of people that both don't believe in God but also want to see ostriches killed.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't want to alienate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know that flamingos are not always pink. They're pink because their color is determined by their diet.
So you think it's a lifestyle choice?
Yeah, because they... Do you guys know about that?
They ate the shrimp, and they turned it pink.
I don't...
Shrimp and pussy. Man, did you guys know that about flamingos? They're freaks.
Oh, man. They will
flamingos
just...
Will...
I want to see a flamingo and an ostrich make love. I know that. I know that's coming out of left field, you guys. But
you know,
God, it would be beautiful.
The joke's on you. Birds can't love. They're not capable of it.
That's why you got punched.
I'd like to just see them sex each other.
What is with people who have birds as pets? Seriously,
doesn't make sense. I want
do you.
It's like
ever,
I want a pet that I can't touch and is also as loud as and as constant as a fire alarm.
And at any given moment, might just flip out and try to peck my face.
I want something in my house that I can't interact with that will just periodically shit everywhere.
Yeah, and make a terrible noise, and I hate it. I hate this thing.
And that what literally, if someone leaves the window open, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll never come back. A bird is never going to look at you with anything more than the sad, soulless, dead eyes that what passes for eyes. They're a little more than like polished opals. Mm-hmm. They just stare right through you. And they're never gonna love you. They're just birds.
Oh, wait,
they have no capability.
I have to point out, unlike cats and dogs, they actually have like a natural habitat that they belong in. And it's not your bedroom. It's not like you can return like your beagle to the wild.
If I left my cat, birds
belong in the Amazon, you jerk.
If I took my cat and dropped it outside, it would be like, oh, well, okay, what now?
Where is the litter?
But if I had a parakeet and I took it outside, it'd be like, bye, fucker.
Got it.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, thank God. I'm going to go find a tree because that's kind of my jam. Is a tree.
You can take your parrot into public, provided you clip its wings so that it doesn't fly.
Because yeah, you're that's a real good, asshole.
That's a good basis for a relationship.
Yeah, I'm afraid of my dog running away, so I chopped off one of his feet.
Yeah, my daughter tried to go to college, so I cut her legs off.
Yeah.
I miseried her really hard.
I miseried my daughter because I didn't want her to leave.
Now her and my bird just cry all the time.
I love you, Becky.
I love you, Becky. Her. Sorry about your shin bones. Let's talk about falcons. That would be cool, though.
Okay.
Now, I have always wanted to do that.
Sure.
If you trained a falcon, but even then, it's like weaponized. It's not
a
pet.
That's what I do love. I do love the idea of just a living weapon.
Yeah.
Because that's
also
what I consider myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, on the plus side, you're going to be able to become a gunslinger at an unprecedentedly young age.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. The bad side is that somewhere there is a flying knife that you have trained that would
only
love nothing more
you, and at your death will just go on a killing spree. Yeah.
Just you're the only thing keeping that flying knife in check. God, that would be a good name for a falcon though if I had it. Come flying knife.
Guess I get to my side. Not too fast though, please.
What would you call a falcon if you
Condor Man?
Condor Man. Okay, that's good because he's neither condor nor man.
Exactly. It's really gonna fuck with his enemies.
I would name it Gangnam Style because I think people then would, it would be like carbon dating it because people would know it within a day when I bought this bird.
This is my falcon Pogs.
Yeah. Hey, can I call?
This is my falcon Judge Lance Ito.
can I call my falcon Billy Ocean?
Of course you can. Get out of my dreams and get out of my hair. You're killing me.
Please stop watching me while I sleep.
I just decided that if I saw somebody on the streets of Austin with a bird on their hand, I would just think they were a hipster, probably. That is not a joke. It is not outside the realm of possibility of an
affectation.
There's
a guy who walks around Huntington with a parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I also want to point out, when it comes to falcons, you literally have to like blindfold them to keep them from killing people.
Yeah.
Like, they have specially designed hats and blinders so that the birds do not just freak out and murder everything they see.
There's this guy who used to always hang out at a restaurant that used to be in town called Chili Willy's that had a parrot, and he would bring his parrot into the restaurant, which I think is foul, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a bird. You don't know what it does. He would bring his bird in the restaurant, and I would see him there all the time. I would think, huh. I guess Chili Will, you know, I guess he must be friends with the owner or whatever. And now a new restaurant has opened up in that same locale called Backyard Pizza. And I've seen that motherfucker with his parrot again. I don't know if he's a feature of the building or if that's like the one place he could take his parrot where his parrot won't lose his goddamn mind.
Do you think he is providing a service? Here. He's providing a service to Huntington restaurants. Like, I will make your shit look more interesting by standing in front of it. People want to know my story. They'll get hungry because I'll talk to them for 2 hours about my fucking parrot. And then they'll
and
be
I'll
like,
let the parrot do a little bit of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even worry about spiders anymore.
No, he'll take them. Care of all the colorful beetles.
You can't pay me in pizza. Hey, do parrots eat pizza? Ah, fuck it.
I'll eat his
pizza.
What's that flying knife? You want to eat some food? Well, you have pizza. You should have eaten your pizza there that I had to eat for you.
Oh, what's that? You need me to launch the pizza upwards into the sky at 100 miles an hour before you'll be interested in it at all? Okay.
Fuck. The fucking next stop, flash forward, America's Got Talent. You got a $1 million check. Your show's opening in Vegas. This is my pet flying knife, the amazing pizza catching parrot.
Another I love dead mouse so pizza, much. Please.
He died after 3 weeks. I had to train a new one. I hate this job.
The world's fattest falcon.
I hate this job almost as much as birds apparently hate pizza.
This bird has acne. Get up what? There, flying knife.
My flying knife, you have acne. And your breath smells like garlic. I hate you now. I always hated you. Why can't you look at me with love?
Put your hat back on. You're creeping me out.
How come you never bring me a Bud Light like the cool birds in the commercials do?
This is my parrot, and this is our Las Vegas style show. It's now been moved to the Catskills, and I trained my parrot to get me a beer. Does anybody else want a beer? Hold on a second. Wear this gauntlet. Because he will attack.
Can you imagine if you owned a parrot and then like you brought home a falcon, what the parrot must think in that moment?
Mm-hmm. What would a parrot think? He's like, not oh, the birds fuck. Can think. Oh, fuck. What's he calling it? Flying knife? That's such a cool name.
He called me Steve. What the fuck?
Why did he name me Steve? Name your parrot Raven. He won't see that coming. Hey, my friend and I saw a movie on the last day it was playing. As it turned out, we were the only two there. We usually like to stick around through the credits on the off chance there's a bonus scene at the end. But halfway through the credits, I saw an usher glaring at us impatiently from the doorway, waiting for us to leave. I feel as paying moviegoers, we have the right to stick around until the lights come up, even if we're the only ones there. Am I in the wrong on this? And that's from Ushered Out in Utah. Well, I have great news for you, Ushered Out in Utah. And this still is not a paid endorsement, but if you get the hit iPhone app Run Pee, it will not only tell you the best time to take a bathroom break, it will tell you if there is something after the credits, whether or not you need to
but
stay.
But do you think that's going to stave off the condescending stare of the movie theater usher?
Who cares about that guy?
I've been that guy.
I was that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people should be able to sit there and enjoy their film without you rushing them out. Well, I'm saying he's being a jerk.
Well, I think the trait, here's the thing. The fact of the matter is, if you're the only two people in the theater, it's not like brother's got a lot of cleaning to do.
Wow, that's a good point, Travis. So, how long is it going to take them to clean up after two people?
Right? So unless you were just like changing seats every 5 minutes and then dumping your junior mints on the ground.
I spilled them again.
Hey, Usher.
Mom. Hey, Usher. Usher or Mom. Or Usher Raymond. Anybody. I spilled them again. Spilled them. Hey, Will Ferrell. Hey, Will Ferrell in the movie. I spilled them. Please come out of the movie.
I want goobers this time. Turn my mints into goobers.
I want to return exchange these mints for goobers.
I only ate 5. It's not fair.
It turns out Rosebud is his sled, everybody. By the way, this happened in 1940.
Wow.
Okay. This is fun.
Did you know that was a time travel scene?
You are not doing this guy any disservice because when you're an usher, here's the life of an usher. Here's how his shift breaks down. You get to stand around and watch the end of a movie and wait for the theater to clear out. That's one of the things you do. Sometimes you go and you have to fill up a bucket with mop water. That's cool. Sometimes you have to clean up puke and jizz and skull leavings.
And be careful not to stab yourself on used syringes.
That's the worst part of the job. And as long as they're not doing that, then they are probably just happy to be standing still. I used to work at a theater. You know what they used to do for your lunch and dinner break? They used to say on our lunch and dinner breaks, they would say, you can go and chill out for, 30 minutes or however long in one of the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would just go watch fucking 30 minutes of a movie, and it was absolute torture.
What was that Ryan Reynolds Haunted House one, the remake? Amityville Horror.
Spooky Mansion.
I watched 30 minutes of Spooky Mansion, like the same 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
For like a week.
I saw...
And as far as I know, I think they all died.
I saw the end of The Grudge 2 probably 22 different times, like the last 4 minutes. And it was some woman just getting wrecked by a Japanese ghost. I saw that shit so many times because I had to. You know what? I take it back. Do whatever this usher wants you to. Their life is nothing but fucking
because
pain.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that's just occurred to me. The real horseshit is not you staying after the movie. The real horseshit is this is the last day this movie is in there. Probably no one's coming to see this movie in 2 weeks. And dude was thinking like, cool, movie starts, I don't have to worry about it. We probably wouldn't even run the whole thing. And then you and your friend show up to watch it on the last day at like an 11 a.m. showing. And just ruin this dude's hour and a half break.
Now, here's a suggestion. What about this? Why don't we engage him as a person and say, hey, do you know if there's anything after the credits? Because they will know. They've cleaned up after this.
His opinion. Just be like, I felt that the ending left me hollow and I don't know how to feel. What do you think, Usher?
Let me go devil's advocate. And by devil, I mean the Usher.
Let me be Usher's advocate.
Let me be Usher's advocate here. He doesn't want to hang out with two weirdos who just saw a movie by themselves. Because let me tell you, I'm putting myself in his shoes. You guys were probably tugging. In his mind's eye, that's what was going on.
You were tugging into his mind's eye.
If he looks like full grump, it's probably because he thinks there's going to be tug leavings in his future.
I think they're just called tuggings.
He's got tuggies. He's got tuggies waiting for him. And do you think you... No. Do you think he wants to see the last 8 minutes of Expendables 2 and then clean up Tuggies? Of course not. Of course not.
He's going to need all his mental energy to keep a gum barrel out of his mouth tonight. You really think he wants to chat with you about whether or not Ryan Reynolds should have ended up with Sandra Bullock at the end? Probably not.
He's sad about your Tuggies. Leave the movie 10 minutes early.
If you feel like a movie is coming to a close,
or sit on opposite sides of the theater so that when he comes in, he knows that there was no thank you.
Or just as soon as he walks in, just say, no tuggies, bro. Don't worry.
Just keep your hands in the air like you're at a middle school dance. We left room for the Holy Ghost. No worries.
It's as clean as when the theater rolled off the factory floor.
In fact, we found some tuggies in the back row. We cleaned them up for you.
Yeah.
Or... maybe when he comes in, you hide so he doesn't know you're there.
When he comes in, you're sweeping popcorn into a little like barrel, and you're like,
jump up into the rafters like a howler monkey. He'll never know you're there, and you can just finish watching it as he cleans beneath you.
Why don't you come in dressed as an usher? Dressed as Usher.
Hi, you wouldn't make Usher leave the theater early, would you? Sir, you are 300 pounds and white as the fallen snow. Please leave the theater. You look like that really fat comedian. That would have been funnier if I could remember his name. What's that fool's name?
You literally, there's like five choices here.
Yeah.
The one who won Last Comic Standing.
Rene Fatsun.
What? Rene no. Fatsun? No.
Louis Anderson.
GURP. Yeah, no. GURP.
This is his name.
Ralphie Mays.
Ralphie May, that's it. Okay, I'm going to try that again. And Daisy, you look like Ralphie May.
Nailed it. Old two-take Justin, they call him. Nailed it in two. Cut. Prank. It's a wrap.
Grim, you just edit those. Just get in there.
Just drop that in. Take out the part where we did the other dude's name.
It'll be like...
You'll use the old cut and paste.
He looks like, and then Microsoft Sam, Ralphie Mays.
Can you do that and then just cut out everything from when we talked about BE teachers except for when I said Mr. Wilcock and you lost it? Just like have that like, parenthetical statement within
the show.
I want
this episode to be 45 seconds long. I want it to be you laughing about Mr.
Welcome
Wilcock.
Welcome to my brother, saying, everybody. Hey, do you guys remember Mr. Wilcock? Ralphie Mays. L-O-L-O-L-O-L-O.
L-O, keep your heart, Three Sacks. Keep your heart, Three Sacks, Ian.
We got to throw Extremer Strains in there, too. Mm-hmm.
That podcast you told me to listen to?
It was really
weird.
You were
100% right.
It was 45 seconds thing. Long, but there was an uninterrupted bit about fuck toys for money.
If this show were just a elaborate construct for which to deliver bits about sex toys, which I guess it is.
They to laughed on at your poor view. Sean William Scott and then talked about snakes coming out of a dick for like an hour and a half.
They laughed at the existence of Sean William Scott, like just his whole scenario.
I was thinking about his funny bits from the movie.
Yeah, like, yeah, for sure. Thank you for listening to our comedy podcast, My Brother and Me. It's been just another great time. A lot of laughs. Thanks for people sending things to us in the mail. Again, our address is P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. And you can just send that attention me.
No bombs.
No bombs.
You should write on it, no bombs.
Mm-hmm. No tuggies, no bombs. It's, in fact, especially the first thing.
No tuggies. No tuggies.
I know it seems like a good idea now. Don't
tug. No tuggies. Thanks to in people. A box, please.
No tuggies. Thanks
put
to
it
people.
In a vial first.
Thanks to people tweeting about the show. Thomas Rice, Double Wizard, The Incredible K, Opposable Plums, Tiff Cantrell, Frojack 980, Mara Ruth, S. Carroll, Chuck Jones 1970, Chuck Bruce 1. Love Actuary, Blue Nicole. And if you're not already following MBMBAM Wisdom, you should. It's a funny Twitter account that you can enjoy. Thank you to Joe fucking Robinson for sending me a Pepsi Man action figure.
Holy
Are
shit.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
Gold.
I know. It's going to be the best.
Did we get any more extremely rare and valuable Pokemon cards?
No, no more. Extremely. I did throw those others away, though.
No.
I also want to say, if you have someone that you love with a birthday coming up or an anniversary or a big occasion and you want to shout out on the show for them, just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and all the information's there. We'd love to wish them a happy birthday or tell them that you love them or
if you got
for
a business
stuff back or something. And if you have a business... and you'd like a little commercial message on there, just go to the same link, MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Maybe we should switch in like other tracks from that album in there. You think?
There are a lot.
There's a lot of good tracks, and they're all pretty high energy. I bet they would get things going with a bang. Anyway... that probably won't happen.
Yeah, probably.
And remember, if you have any ghost-related questions, send them in so we can do a
next week. All ghosts.
Nothing fucking stupid though. Like ghosts don't exist, and like that's cool. Make them good. Stop sending in shitty ghost questions, everyone.
Yeah, just send your best ones. All ghosts next week. And thank you for listening to my brother, me. This podcast here that we're on doing right now.
We have got to stop drinking before doing the show.
Yeah, good luck. Griffin, I believe you said you had one more
I have
question.
One to grow on. It's by it was sent in by Nicole Thompson. Thank you, Nicole. It's by Yahoo Answers user Cat, who asks, where are birds' ears at?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother, and Me. Kiss your dads. Around the lips.